Our New Testament lesson today is from Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Hear now the word of our Lord. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And of course, this letter to Ephesians, written from Paul, comes about 2 years after, since Paul has been there, at least maybe a little longer. So Paul has not heard from them directly, but he has heard word of their faith as people traveled through Ephesus, which was a major trade city, located at the site of one of the right next to one of the most significant pagan goddesses. This small church in Ephesus, under persecution and certainly in the minority by far, is growing and growing and growing. And here Paul writes to them, you know, and he said, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, that is Christ, to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I call your attention to verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that the hope that you may, in order that you may know the hope which he has called you. The eyes of your heart. What a beautiful way to describe this. Of course, he is referring back to Jesus saying, calling the Pharisees and many of the leaders of the church blind leaders. He's saying that they do not see and they do not hear. They speak, but they don't hear. And they do not see. It's like the blind leading the blind. Paul prayed earlier in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. When you think of people saying that they are seeking enlightenment, do you first think of Christianity? Or do you think of some Eastern religion that they may go off and seek something at a mountaintop someplace? But Paul is saying, if you want enlightenment, this is where you find it. The only way you're going to find enlightenment, the only way you're going to have vision, the only way you're going to hear is by the Holy Spirit working in your life. This Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. It's also the Sunday before Thanksgiving. This is a Sunday we traditionally celebrate Christ as King. For the last few Sundays, you know, we squirm a little bit during the scripture readings and the services because it's all been about judgment. The last days. It's all been about us being held accountable. You know, the sheep and the goats and the bridesmaids coming with their lamps empty in oil, and the servants handling their talents that they've been given properly. All this is building up to Christ the King Sunday, because He is the one who will judge, and thank God for that. If you know you're going to be before the judge, and you know that you are guilty, isn't it good to have the judge, knowing that the judge loves you so much that He gave His life to cover your sin? That's something to be thankful for. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you truly mean what you say when you confess your sins, if you give your sin up to Jesus and ask for His guidance, and you ask Him to guide your life and to take your life, and you say, "Jesus, I give You my life. Lead me, guide me, forgive me." Judgment Day is not a time of fear and trembling. Judgment Day before the King is a day of peace, of fulfillment. It's a day of beginning, of a new beginning with Jesus Christ forever. And of course, this journey begins when you first accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if there's any here who do not know Him as their Lord and Savior, come and talk with me. Come and spend time in prayer. Come and spend time in His Word. Because Jesus doesn't want any to be lost. And He calls you. He knows His sheep. He knows you by name. And He calls you. Else you wouldn't be here. None of us would choose Christ if we were in the world. But it's only by the beckoning of the Holy Spirit upon us, tugging at us, sometimes for years and decades. But Jesus said that none will be snatched from Me. The Father has given to Me, none will be lost. And that is very good news. And that's a lot to be thankful for. So when we think about going before the King, every knee will be bowed. But there'll be smiles on a lot of faces. All those who know Jesus and who embrace Him as their Lord and Savior, all who have sought His forgiveness for their sins, have had their sins covered, have been forgiven. And as you bow, you can bow with confidence, knowing that you have a King who loves you so much that He laid down His very life, that He bore upon Him not only your sins, but all the sins of those that He would save. All of this is part of a plan. Have you ever been in a group, a club, a church, an association, or a company that lacked leadership? That there did not seem to be a plan? All the smiles that are breaking out in this room of recognition. Haven't we been there? I remember getting called up to Paramus, New Jersey when I was with this British film company named Ilford from Ilford, England. And the vice president said, "Bill, come in here. I want to show you our new our organizational chart." And I looked at the organizational chart and I saw how things went. And he said, "What do you think?" I said, "I don't think it'll work." And he was upset. This 24-year-old guy was telling him that these people who had decades of experience in management and spent all that year working on this new reorganization, that it wouldn't work. And he said, "What makes you think it won't work?" I said, "Well, anybody that understands basic gravity, basic physics, understands that at a pyramid, the smallest part will be at the top, and the largest part will be at the bottom. You put all the emphasis on the top and nothing on the bottom. How is that going to work?" Yeah, we've all been in organizations that lack leadership. We've all been probably in churches at times that seemed in the same way, that seemed to lack a plan, lack definition, lack leadership. But you know, we're not in that situation now. Not meaning my leadership in this church or the section's leadership in this church, although I admire them. I'm talking about Christians have a leader. This church, Tomahawk Presbyterian Church, is part of a larger body, of course, the Presbyterian USA, the Shenandoah Presbytery. It's a part of Protestant churches throughout the world. And that's nice, and it's good, and it works well. But what is important is that we are part of church. Our scripture this morning says, Paul tells to us in Ephesians, he says that he's above all rule and dominion and authority and power and every title that can be given. And then he goes on to say, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body." And it gives me great comfort and great thanks. I'm very grateful that Christ is in charge, that Christ is head of the church, and that church that we always need to serve is the church of Jesus Christ, the church of Christianity, the church of our faith, the church that we know is always true and never lacks leadership and is always inerrant. If we look at Isaiah 46, starting in verse 9, "Remember the former thing, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said that I will bring about, what I have planned, that I will do." God has a plan. And one of the things that I'm very thankful for is that we serve a church that is led by a king. That is Christ. And that we who believe in him, who have confessed our sin, and who have embraced him as our Lord and Savior, who worship him as in the proper way as King and Savior, are led by the Holy Spirit through God's plan. And we can then, and only then, can we ever with peace give up our plans and place ourselves in the hands of the Holy Spirit and be happy with it and be very happy with it and very much at peace. And peace is not found any other place. And there is no other way. But we can rejoice because there is a way and there is a place. And we are part of it. And so when we stand before the King and we kneel just as those who have not asked for forgiveness, who have not accepted Him, will kneel, we will be able to kneel with joy and with peace and with a smile on our face. That we are before the One who has taken our sins and put them as far apart as the East is from the West, because we've trusted in Him and we've given our lives to Him and we have peace. Paul, in writing his letter to the Ephesians, and this was a letter that was intended to be passed around from church to church, and that is why it survived. Any of the letters that are written that survived are those that were copied over and over again, and the originals were stored in clay jars, and through these writings they have continued and were preserved. Writings only to one body probably did not survive, probably were not intended in God's plan to survive. But God intended and preserved these words written thousands of years ago so that we can hear them today. And He did that because it's part of His plan, because He knows that on this very day, I needed to hear these very words, just as you. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Enlightenment is an important thing. And we can only receive the enlightenment through the Holy Spirit. We can only understand these words that are written and have been preserved for us for thousands of years according to God's plan. We can only understand these words through the enlightenment given us in the Holy Spirit. The world cannot understand these words. They're nonsense. Scripture tells us that they are foolish nonsense to the unbeliever. They are foolish nonsense to those that are not led by the Holy Spirit. They read these words and they would laugh. And they say, this is nonsense. This is ridiculous. And I read these words and I'm filled with joy and peace. These words are written for you personally. They're not written for you as a Christian or you as a Presbyterian or you as a member of Tomahawk Presbyterian Church or you as a part of this body of believers. They are written for you personally and preserved for you personally by a God who knows you by name. A God who knows your heart. A God who knows your needs. A God who will answer your prayers. A God who will give you enlightenment to understand His Word if you will give Him your time and your commitment and your life. This is the God who brings us peace. This is a God who can give us the hope. This is a God who gives us the confidence to come before the throne and to bow before the King in peace. Amen.